Well, it's a cup final, a Challenge Cup final, Nottingham Panthers pre-game podcast, building up for the huge game with Coventry Blaze at the Motor Point Arena this evening. It's Nottingham Panthers going for a ninth Challenge Cup success. And to talk me through it, just the two of us, Jono Bullard. It is Jono Bullard, as I say. Hello,
Just the two
Jono.
of us.
Yeah.
Evening, Chris.
Everyone's got something, an excuse. All I heard saw was a long list of excuses. Some of them I felt were genuine, maybe some not so genuine, and some people we're still yet to hear of. Who knows? Somebody might pop, you never know with Greener might just pop up.
He could pop
Yeah.
in. Yeah,
Spurs
because
haven't lost tonight, have they? They must play
No,
tomorrow,
they're
don't they?
playing tomorrow,
So there you go. So
so he'll
we
be in a good mood. Greener will be at the minute.
Yeah. So we're going to do some reflection, and me and you have seen all of those previous eight Challenge Cup finals. So let's go on to that very shortly indeed. But what about the final? I mean, I'm not going to lie, I've been thinking about it for many days, probably even before the weekend. It's a competition that we'll touch on that Nottingham Panthers owned. Make no mistake about it, won it 5 years in a row. There's something special about that competition and its history with the Panthers, isn't there?
Yeah, very much so. And it's hard to believe that it's 10 years since we last won one, with that 2016 triumph over Cardiff in Sheffield. But it's a competition we're very much synonymous with. I love the little touch of the eight stars on the shirt. I really like that. But it's a huge game, a massive game. I mean, sold it. I mean, to think that tickets only went on sale, what, 10 days ago, and it's been sold out for probably
For
nearly another
days.
week. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's just goes to show how big this game is going to be. There's going to be huge support for the Coventry Blaze, and I think the neutrals are going to be very much on Coventry's side as
Oh my
well.
heaven, they are, aren't you? You only need to look at social media. They are. Yeah.
And that's fair enough, and I understand that as well, with the lead up to it. But we've got to take care of our own and do what we can to win that trophy. It's another fantastic opportunity for us to add to our silverware haul that we've had over the past 12 months. But it's not going to be an easy game. They've got a very good record at the Motor Point Arena this season. It's two wins for us, two wins for Coventry. They're a good side. They've got some really good players. They're exceptionally well coached, and they've got an outstanding netminder as well. So, it's going to be an intriguing game. I don't think we can really read too much into to the victory we got at the Sky Dome. What was it, 9 days ago? I think this is going to be a very different game. I think it's a completely level playing field, and we will see what happens.
To that end, I think you're right. You don't take that into account. Don't think you can also take into account Sunday night. Clearly, let's not dwell on that too much. But Sunday night was a bit of a disaster for the Panthers. And Danny Stewart alludes to kind of in my first question to him, that's the interview that's going to go out on Wednesday morning. He does touch on that, and he kind of references the fact that it was not good. They had a meeting about it on Tuesday morning to discuss it. But I think it was like, guys, that wasn't good enough. But this is a new day. So I saw quite a few comments about terrible preparation. I mean, of course it was. It was a terrible result. But that result will be a million miles from any player's mind when they step out onto that ice on Wednesday. You kind of touched on it on there, Jono, in Coventry Blaze. If you take away the four teams that have been battling it out for the Elite League title, if you then come and look at 5 to 10, I feel, and we were talking this amongst ourselves, weren't we, about who would you not want to face in the challenge in the playoffs? But my point here is, if you've got one of those teams from that sector of teams, Coventry are probably the toughest of the lot. Manchester maybe too, but you look at. I look at what Coventry had done this season, and especially recently, and I'm still shocked to see them seventh. I think they did have a bad run, didn't they? They had a terrible run at one point where they lost quite a handful of games in a row. But Kevin Moore turned that around, and They, like you said, they are arguably the best netminder in the league. They're strong in defense. And you know, with a player like Grant Mismatch, that's just one of them who's on fire at the moment. What Kevin Moore's done is he's got players who, and Danny Stewart alludes to this really well. He says that they play desperate every night. It doesn't matter whether they're at home or away, the scoreline, they never get up. And you saw that, didn't you, in that game they came back and won in Nottingham on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got some really good, they've got a really good mix. And like you say, I think first half of the season leading up to New Year's Eve, they had a shocking run. They were really not good. And then something clicked for them from New Year's Eve, and they've been absolutely lights out since then. They've been so good. But you look at the makeup of the team that they've got. We've got two players who won a championship with Belfast last season. And Kevin Moore has this ability of finding gems. I mean, Matthew Gleeson, it's his first pro season, he's their top point scorer, and he's been absolutely brilliant for them all season long. And then you look at the likes of Alessio Luciani, who is in his third season with them, but he came out of NCAA 3. And the thing is, I think what Kevin Moore has done, he's managed to just sort of pick these gems and really polish them into fantastic players in the Elite League.
The one man who I said I didn't think would let us down, his beautiful face has just appeared. And actually, when I referenced that some people in the chat had a good excuse, Ken was one of them. Ken's been prepping. Ken's got a cup final on Wednesday. You're going to be announcing alongside JD of the Coventry Blaze. You excited, Kenneth?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I think it'd be really good. Got to get into playoffs mode. So, not the Panthers DJ. I'll be the league DJ basically. So,
So
yeah.
maybe anyone listening to this to kind of clear anything up, in case there's any misunderstandings, you'll be there in your playoff mode. And then, am I right in thinking, and JD and maybe Sam will be battling it out? I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but there'll be two
Yeah.
announcers. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have Sam Hurst there. Panthers fans will be familiar with Sam. We'll have JD from the Blaze as well. So yeah, that'll be really, really good. Yeah, so it's going to be going to be a really good night, hopefully, for both sets of fans. So yeah, I think it's an Elite League event. It's not a Panthers event. It just happens to be played at the Motor Point Arena. In the same way that the playoffs are played at the Motor Point Arena. And yeah, it's Blaze have got they are the designated home team for the game. And they'll be brought onto the ice by JD, their match night announcer. So yeah, really looking forward to working alongside JD and yeah, having a good night.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the way that the three of you will work. It's probably kind of unheard of in certainly in UK ice hockey, but in many sports. As you know, I'm really excited to see, and I personally, I think that will just add to the atmosphere to have the three of you working together. Working that jumbotron. I'm really excited to see the outcome of that. And you make a good point there, Ken. Of course you do. But I just think there's things we can clarify here, because as ever, there's a lot of chatter on social media. Coventry are the home team. They will have last line change. They chose what colours they wanted to wear. We then had to choose a different colour. And then just things like they decided they wanted the visitors bench, and they wanted the visitors' dressing room. That is totally understandable, because in my mind, and I don't really have much intel, but I would think they think, well, why broke, when it isn't, why fix it when it isn't broke? They've been last two times they've come in as the away team, and they've used that dressing room, they've used that bench, they're familiar with it. So I can see Kevin Moore thinking that way. They'll shoot towards their fans, and there's what, 1500, did I see the press release said? And I've seen their social media asking their fans to come and make noise. It's just going to be a really special occasion. And Ken, I'll give you that chance now before we will delve into some of the past finals. Whether we've got time to go through all eight of them, I don't know. But it's a cup that we've had a close affection with. And then we lost our way, as Jono said. It's crazy that a cup that we've won 8 times, we haven't won for 20, sorry, for 20 years. We haven't won for 10 years. And the Elite League's been going, what, 25 years? Something like that? No, a bit, 2003, four. So a bit less than 25 years. But yeah, it's what I'm saying is it's a cup that we've been synonymous with, and one I think Panthers fans hold special in their hearts.
Yeah, I think a few points there. So just yeah, first of all, I think I'm hoping I'm not going to be having to do much tomorrow night. I think both sets of fans are fired up for this. So you know, my preference is always to let the fans battle it out and you know, have as much natural energy in there as possible. So I'm really hopeful that the you know. Full Motorpoint Arena will be absolutely buzzing tomorrow, and the sets the Coventry huge following for Coventry Blaze will be bouncing backwards and forwards off the Panthers fans, and that will make for the best natural atmosphere. So, yeah, fingers crossed. There's enough of that tomorrow night, and then yeah, I mean I love the addition to our Challenge Cup jerseys with the stars for the times that we've won the
Jono
Challenge
said
Cup.
that.
I think that's brilliant. I think that's a really nice touch, and yeah, it was a kind of at one point. I think did we won it 3 times in a
Got
row,
five in a row, five.
but after we'd won it 3 times in a row, I think Gary invoked some rule that we found
Yeah.
and kept the trophy or something. So
That does
I
ring a
seem
bell. In
to
fact, does ring a bell.
remember that. Yeah, and saying if you win it 3 times, you get to keep it on the bat. So yeah, I sort of remember that. But in terms of Challenge Cup moments, there can only really be one for me, and that's when we won it in Sheffield in 2004, 2005 season,
Three,
and
four, two thousand and
sorry,
three,
two,
four,
sorry,
yeah.
3, 4, sorry, 2004, 5 was when I started with the Panthers. So
Yeah.
yeah, I always remember 2000. Yeah, so 03, 04, and obviously Kim El Roos, and what a night to remember that was.
Yeah, I mean, let's start there. It's like we've produced this program because that's where we'll start. I mean, I'll start with my memories because it was a special night for me for many reasons. You know, I got to commentate on the game. It was the first cup win that I'd commentated on for the BBC. I will jump back further. Jono or Ken, you can jump in. But the previous year, we lost to Sheffield, didn't we? In a Challenge Cup. Was it a Challenge Cup
Yeah,
final?
it was
In
Challenge Cup final in
Manchester,
Manchester. Yeah, 3-2.
3-2. We went 3-0 down early, changed netminders, and made a late bid at the end. But we were always,
Yeah, but
you know, you
Greg
never
Adams
felt.
scored twice, I think.
Did he?
So,
Did he?
yeah.
We always felt we were playing catch up after going 3-0 down. And that was my first cup final commentary for BBC Radio Nottingham. I shared it with the great Colin Frey, who, I mean, no better person to learn of. And I'll tell a little story. And I'm not convinced whether I ever took his advice. And I'm pretty sure if he's given this advice to Chris Gadsby, Chris Gadsby certainly hasn't taken this advice. And his advice was, always find a level to go to for exciting moments and don't like go right there straight away. I listen to Chris Gadsby, and Chris Gadsby goes almost level 10 in lots of goals. And Jono, you know, you too, that passion is unbelievable. And I too would fall into that trap as well. And Colin's advice, I remember we walked around that top tier of the Manchester Arena right at the back, and he obviously wanted to give me some words of advice an hour or two before my first commentary. I think he did the first period and third, and I did the second from memory. I think that was right. And I think from memory, I never got to commentate on a goal. I cannot remember. But that was kind of the big moment there. I'd also commentated on that horrific loss to London Knights with 0.2 seconds to go in the
Oh
semi-final of the
God, yeah.
playoffs,
Oh.
which was just heartbreaking. I'm trying to think, there might have been one more until, of course, this Challenge Cup final. What a great moment was. You sit it when you commentate, you sit right at the back, right in the top corner, million miles away. I was needing glasses. It was before I'd even got my glasses, and I was beginning to think in that sort of time I needed them. And I have told this story before, but I was only 75% certain it was Kim El Roos because, you know, say of my eyesight before I actually got my glasses. Thank God it was, because I think that would have been pretty devastating to get the wrong call there in a Challenge Cup final with a winning goal. But yeah, so for personally, it was a great, they were a great group of guys on and off the ice. And to get to commentate on that moment for you know, as a job was a privilege. Jono, what do you remember? I guess you were in the block there,
I was
getting a
in
bit crazy.
block 202. I was in. I think there was five or six of us in the row, and I just remember. I remember we went 2-0 up,
We did.
and then Sheffield brought it back to 2-2, and I think they scored another goal that was washed out
They
for
did
offside.
offside, yep.
That I think they still complain about to this day, and then of course Diana Ross was on the previous night,
Yeah.
which messed up the ice for just them, not for us, of course. And then, yeah, 60-53. I always remember as well that home game after. I think we was playing Cardiff, and the scoreboard that we had at the time had 60-53, in the time
Well, yeah,
before the
what a great
start of the
touch.
game,
What a great touch.
yeah, I just remember we. It was sort of time almost froze because he was
Did.
like, he can't miss. And he put it into the roof of the net. And I think Christian Bronsard just didn't move. He
No.
just had no idea. And we then, of course, everything just went crazy. It was
Yeah.
just limbs, I think is the word. It was just phenomenal. Because I think we'd not won anything for 6 years at that
Yeah.
time. So it broke that. And it was just a sheer outpouring of emotion and joy.
It was two goals. I'm looking now. It was two goals in 66 seconds, actually. Didn't realize they were so close. Salonen and Craighead. And then Eric Anderson scored twice before Thompson with that great pass to Miko, and then an unbelievable pass from Mikko Koivunen to Kimi Aris. What about you, Kenneth? You were there, weren't you? What do you remember?
I remember I was there with my brother. I was there with my mate Andrew, and we had a bit of a job on persuading Andrew to come because he's like, oh, don't, we always lose when I go to Sheffield. And anyway, he came, and it was just incredible. I just remember queuing to get out of the car park after the win, and beeping the horn, and people singing and chanting, and just being so elated, really. And you know, I just what a night. There's not many sort of nights that live quite so vividly in my memory as that. And obviously, it was literally the following season, the 04-05 season, that I started working with the Panthers. So, you know, it's quite a notable tie. It's the way I kind of remember when I started with the Panthers.
Yeah. What a great start to, you know, in that sort of era. Let's move on to the next time he won it, which was 2008. Remarkably, the first leg was played on the 23rd of January, 2008. This game, Kevin Bergin scored a hat trick. Ryan Schmier got thrown out of the game on a misconduct for high-fiving
High
the
five with the
Sheffield
Sheffield
bench
bench.
after his goal. I think it was a beauty. Schmears, he didn't score that many goals, but it was a beauty as a
Well,
top.
I don't know if you remember that he was getting quite a lot of criticism in the Sheffield Star about, oh, it's like Ryan Schmier being on the ice for them is a benefit for us, and he scored.
Really? I don't
And
remember that.
he scored two goals over the two legs, and
Yeah.
we won by two goals on aggregate. So there you
Yeah.
go.
There you go. So,
Karma, karma
yeah.
at its very
Karma
best.
is best. Schmears, he high-fived the bench. Was it Davy Lawrence, the young
Davy
British
Lawrence
kid,
was in
went in
because
net?
Jodie Lehmann's wife had gone into labour that
Yeah,
day, so he was with her, yeah.
and I have told this story before, but Sheffield tried to find any way they could to find, and the version I was told, they even considered seeing whether his wife could be in labour in a suite or something, so Jodie Lehmann could be there. I mean, I had that on pretty good authority, and whether that story got twisted a bit, I don't know. But you know, I do think that, like, you know, when they realized what was happening, it was like, you know, I mean, it's sweet, you know, you could be there between periods, you can nip up, see how it's going. I mean, I jest, but I, you know, and you understand, because, you know, Jody Lehmann was an outstanding netminder, and obviously we got a bit of stroke of luck in that first leg. The second leg, so then, Ken, you were you fully DJing by then, 2008?
No,
into him.
no. If you remember, my first season doing the music was 2014.
Oh, so
So
I'm really jumping ahead of time. But you,
No,
is it really?
I was working. So Steve Machin was still around at that
Yeah.
point. The great Steve Machin. It's a
Yeah.
pleasure. Got to work with him for 10 years, and I think he once he saw us win the league, that was kind of what he wanted to see and experience, and then he made the decision that he was going to kind of hang up his CDs and and retired. So
Yeah.
yeah.
It's funny. I feel like you've been here longer than that. Jono, that second leg, we had this habit, didn't we, in some of those cup finals of winning the first leg but losing the second leg. Like we did in the semi-final against the Steelers, but going through. It wasn't until that late, as you said, Ryan Schmier goal, which effectively was the one that kind of made it safe. It was the insurance goal. It was pretty tight until then because Sheffield roared back early, didn't they, and took the lead in that second leg. Tessier and Shepherd, I'm seeing here. Modine and Wallenberg equalised for the Panthers. Talbot and Legree score to make it a one-goal game. And it wasn't until Smearsy that I think we could relax, was
Yeah,
it?
and I think Mark Leivers hit the post on an empty netter,
Oh, that's a good memory.
which would have made it 4-4 on the night. But that didn't matter. We were ahead on aggregate, and that was the first time in the modern era as well where we've won trophies in consecutive seasons because we've won the playoffs, 2007, and then won the Challenge Cup the season after.
We'll move on to 2010, which was the next win for the Panthers. Now that came over two legs against Cardiff Devils. I remember again. I'm picking your brains here. We'll go first of all to you, Jono. It was a really feisty first leg in Belfast. Sorry, in Cardiff.
Yeah, I was
Panthers winning
there.
that 4-2. I think I
I
commentated
think
the radio not being.
I think I was sat next to your mum
Oh,
and
there you
dad in
go.
that one.
Good. Well, we did commentary online for that one. Richardson, Leivers, Gascon, and Danny Myers.
Yeah, I remember Danny Myers scoring. It was late as well. I think it was something like 58, maybe 59 minutes when Danny Myers scored to make it. It was 4-2, I think, wasn't it? In the
It was 4-2.
yeah, and yeah, it's. It was a great night in Cardiff. There was a lot of Panthers fans there, I remember. It was absolutely, and the building was packed. It was the old big blue tent,
It
so
was.
the atmosphere was absolutely amazing in there that night. So yeah, really, really good performance to take a 2-goal lead back into the arena.
And that 2-goal lead was wiped out really early by the Devils. They tied it up. And then Panthers traded goals, Nielsen and Max Beerbrayer. Then Panthers scored really quickly within 4 minutes, Gascon, Leivers, David Clarke. But still, that game wasn't kind of done because Cardiff roared back. Ken, would you have been at that one in 2010?
Well, I would have definitely, I would have been there.
They all rolled into one. I mean, I'm trying to picture them.
I'm struggling. I was going to try. I was thinking of other notable Challenge Cup finals that really stick in my memory. And there was that year where Evan Moses scored the game winner
Yeah, that we'll come on to that
in
one.
Sheffield. That was a real memorable one for me. I don't know whether it's because we won again at Sheffield, but or that it was just that I was with my dad and we made a real late decision to go, and it just was ended up being a great night.
There's also the Belfast one, which we'll come on to. Pretty sure in the video we put out, you're in the background. So the famous comeback one, you're right. By that time, you were DJing. And we can talk about that one very shortly indeed. But yeah, Jono, let's just kind of move on to that one. I remember Marty Gascon scored a goal when he was lying on the floor and just
Yes.
reached his stick out to get it in
And
the back of the
swatted it
net.
and it went in. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it was it because they went 2-0 up and then did we bring it back to 2-2?
So it was 2-0, and then Corey changed exchanged goals with Beerbrayer. Then we scored three unanswered, and it looked safe. But then Cardiff roared back to make it a one-goal game, and again we lost on the night 5-4. But it was a tense It was a tense game. We'll rattle through these because I want to get onto the more recent ones. Jono, I don't have much memory of this one.
The
So the
Belfast one,
no, the
right?
2000, I'm going to 2011. Sorry, yes, the Belfast one.
That's the
But
first Belfast one, yeah.
the first leg, 3-1, Clark, Matthew Myers, and Jade Galbraith. And then the second leg, Giants
Belfast
won
1-2-1.
2-1.
Yeah, I remember. I was on hot. Me and Helen were in Berlin, on a break, and that was back in the days when I used to do TCW Live. So someone was doing it for me, and I was watching that in this bar in Berlin,
Oh,
like
you didn't go
nervous
to Belfast then?
attack. No, I didn't go to Belfast. I was in Germany. So yeah, it was a very, very exciting. In fact, I think it was you. I think you, that was your mum again texting me what was happening because I think your
Yeah.
mum went.
Yeah, it was in an era when I'd started working for the Elite League, and I know Owen Bradley had started to do his commentary. And yeah, I got a feeling that I think I went in an Elite League guys for that one. But then again, it's weird how the ones long ago really stick in my memory. The more recent ones do. Let's get this one out the way. 2012. Again, Belfast won Nottingham 5 in the first leg.
I remember that one. I think David Clark scored a couple really late.
It's called one of the last. It's listed on the website here as the last play of the game, 60 minutes.
Yeah, and then we came back, and I think we won. Did we win 5-2 or something
Right,
in the sitting?
5-3 in the second
Five
leg. So
three,
that's a
yeah,
10-4 victory.
yeah. And it was, and I always Doug Christensen lifted the netminder. And I think we may have scored an empty net goal, but it was like 9-4 on aggregate, and he lifted the netminder. I think it was just to try and get that extra goal, just to give them the probably last goal of the tie to take into whatever, because I think they were battling for the title at that time. But yeah, it was quite a comprehensive win, that one.
We're gonna have to rattle through these because, as I say, we're gonna run out of time. To 2013, Wednesday the 20th of March, 2013, Challenge Cup final first leg, Sheffield 1, Nottingham 4, Bruce
Oh
Graham,
yes.
Jordan Fox, Robert Lakovic, and Robert Lakovic, the goal scorers in that first leg.
Yeah, I remember that one. It was not long after we'd won the league. I think it may have even
It
been the
came a few days.
midweek,
It came. It was a
few
few
days
days
after,
after, wasn't it?
and all the Sheffield fans were hopeful because they were saying, "Oh, they'll have a hangover from winning the league. We've got this. We've got this." And we went there and absolutely dominated the whole 60 minutes of that game. And I think we were 4-0 up, and Jeff Lugwe scored late on.
Just
In that one,
I can come back and tell you in a very short moment in time.
I'm sh
And the
yeah,
second leg, if you remember, came after the playoff quarter finals. Jeff Lugwe did score, you're right. And the second leg, Panthers lost, as became a habit. They lost 2-1,
2-1,
but won
yeah.
an aggregate.
Special
And
red shirts we were wearing as well,
oh,
I remember.
don't remember that. And the second leg came after. So it went league title win, playoff, Challenge Cup final first leg, playoff quarter finals, Challenge Cup second leg, and then on to win the
Win the
playoffs,
playoffs, yeah.
which was
What a season.
absolutely unbelievable season. Well, let's fast forward to the one that, that really is more recent in the minds. And I know, Ken, you can chip in on this one. Panthers lost 5-2 in the first leg, and Gary Moran for the second leg, didn't he? Did the
Believe
We
campaign.
Believe campaign. And I can't say much because I missed that one. I was working for Ice Hockey UK covering GB Women, who had a big tournament, a world championship in Dumfries. And I was getting text messages of various people. But over to you, Kenneth. I mean, that was a what a special night
Oh,
to overturn
what?
3 goals in a cup final is something special.
It was incredible, and it just goes to show the power of, having that bit of an underdog spirit going into a game, and how dangerous that can make a team. Because it felt like we were just completely written off, and then just everyone was right. Let's believe. Let's get, as you said, the believe campaign. And it just became a thing, and I think we genuinely did believe that we could do it. And the the momentum that was gained from that and just the energy on the night was just incredible. So yeah, well, yeah, one of those incredible moments to be a part of and to witness.
So I talked about my first game commentating. That must have been your first cup final to kind of don the mic.
Well,
Yeah.
not on the maybe. So when was, just remind me of
That
that. When
was
was
20. So
20?
that was a year after the Grand Slam year,
So
wasn't it?
so 2015
For this is the we're
or
talking
2014?
2013-14
Ah,
final.
right. Yeah. So 2014 would have been my first time. Yeah. First cup
Solo.
final DJing. Yeah. Solo. Yeah. Yeah. It would have
There you
been. Yeah.
go. So what your first season as solo DJing, Panthers win the Challenge Cup in just outrageous fashion. I remember Gary Moran saying that this was a motivator, and I kind of don't blame Belfast, but I could also see why Gary thought it was a motivator. He told me how they turned up with the world and his wife, loads of people from Belfast, loads of media and all that lot. I mean, I can understand why they all came. It was the second leg of a cup final. You'd want to be there. But I think Gary felt there was an air of we've got this job done already. And he certainly used to tell this story about how he told people on the night, look at these people, they think they've won it. We think otherwise. And I know that that was something I think he used in his conversations, maybe with people around the rink, maybe players. You know what it's like, there's players in corridors stretching, warming up before a game. And maybe he said that to them. But Jono, that's Panthers have had some magical moments, but a comeback there is up there with all of them.
It was amazing because we go 3-0 and then they scored and I thought yeah we're tiring we it's been brave they're gonna and
It
then
was
I think
2-0, and then Jeff Mason scored. Chris
yes
Higgins, a former Panther, Colin Shields with the assist there. And then, so it was Lynn Loynes and Petr Kalas for 2-0, both on the power play.
Matt Ryan I think scored
Matt
didn't
Ryan
he
got one on the power play later.
yeah.
So Jeff Mason basically edged Belfast well ahead again. Eric Werner and Matt Ryan scored to take that game to the penalty shots. And Mika Beekman wasn't beaten, and Petr Kalas scored the goal, didn't he?
It was K-War, wasn't it?
Yes, good spot. Of course, it was K-War. Mika Beekman comes in our next story because it was K-War who won it, all those
Yeah,
times in a
he
row.
saved all three penalties, and Peter Callas scored the other. It was back when it was only three penalties apiece.
Yeah, that was crazy, wasn't it? Like, you watch the game now and struggle to kind of get your head around that it was only three each. Very different. So that was just a fabulous night. I'd say I followed that one
Limbs
from
again.
afar.
Limbs again.
Yeah, it certainly looked a special night, and I think again from memory, we put the video out of the penalty shootout. I think Gary was so excited. I think it was the days when there was only commentary on the DVD, and I think Gary basically says at the end of the overtime, "I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of Steve, the cameraman. I'm going downstairs." And obviously you got downstairs to be amongst it all, and the penalty, he commentates on the game, and then the penalty shootout is the video we put out is just it's just well, in many ways it's great because it's just the atmosphere, and then you can hear Ken in the background getting very excited too. And let's just touch on the most recent one, 2016. Anyone listening, I hold my hands up with a massive error I made today when I said to Ollie in my first question that him and Tets were the only surviving players from that final. Of course, Tets wasn't at the club then. I swear I saw Tets in a picture on the dressing room wall from that final, but there's somebody in that picture that looks very like Josh Tetlow. Anyway, so yeah, if you listen to that interview and go, "What's he talking about?" Hands up. When I chatted to Ollie, I wrongly said that Tets was on that team, but Ollie was in it. And Jono, first of all, and then to you, Ken. You look at the stats, and it was a crazy one-sided cup final,
We
like 40 odd
battered
to,
them.
yeah. And it was only a matter of time.
I mean, I think we had nearing 50 shots on goal, and they had about 17
Yeah.
or something like that. It was ridiculous. And it was always this one. It went to overtime, and I remember saying to everyone I was with, you watch them get a streaky breakaway or something, score a streaky goal and take
Forty-eight
it.
15, Jono. 48-15, the shots.
But
And then Evan Mosey scores.
and what a goal as well. What
Yeah.
a goal. Bar and down. And you know, it needed something special to beat Bouncy on that day, and that was it. But the celebrations after, I think, always remember where he turns and he just jumps into Mika Beekman's arms when they celebrate, and then everybody just piles on. That was and again, we have one full side of Sheffield Arena. There's probably a good 4,000 Panthers fans there that day, and I'll say it again, limbs when that went in.
Well, you kind of touched on Mika Wiedman there, Ken. That's my question for you. I mean, I feel like Mika Wiedman is a netminder that gets lost when we talk about amazing netminders, or some people do. He had a shutout in a Challenge Cup final and a playoff final because we went on to beat the Blaze 2-0 in that playoff final. That's some going, isn't it?
I genuinely think he's probably the greatest Panthers netminder not to win a league championship. I genuinely think, you know, he was a brilliant keeper. He was a really, really good keeper. And that to keep that final so close and you know, wave after wave of attack and two great netminders in that Challenge Cup final. Just incredible. And I remember that I was, you know, as Mosey went down the ice and scored that goal, just that feeling of it going in, the elation, the moment where, like you say, goes bar down, goes in, and you realize it's a goal we've won. That split second realization, and then just the celebrations, just incredible. And as I say, even more special because I was there, got to watch it with my dad. So.
Absolutely brilliant. We're running out of time, but Mika Beekman, two cups that year, then the Continental Cup the year after. It was so good to see him at Olivetti, his testimonial. Boys, it's been absolutely wonderful. I'm excited already for the Challenge Cup final. Absolutely big moment in the club's season, and we can't wait to see you all at the Motorpoint Arena for the 2026 Challenge Cup final between the Panthers and the Coventry Blaze.